Top five most visited websites in the entire world. Ready for it, gentlemen?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay. Producer John, producer Sean, Raven coming in at number five, Amazon.com.
That's a big one. Makes sense.
Yeah. Number four, Instagram. Three, Twitter, which I was shocked that Twitter was bigger than Instagram, but okay.
This blows my mind.
Yeah. I know.
When they got sold, I just could not believe the valuation of these companies, but okay.
Number two, Wikipedia. And number one is YouTube. And I'm just looking over this because I think everybody has web habits, right? You wake up in the morning and there's certain websites that you immediately go to. There's things that you check and you kind of have like your protocol, the way you go about it. Where do you go first? What do you do? And I'm just curious what everybody else's is because this is not what I thought I would see.
How many of them are on your list?
Instagram and Twitter. So I wake up and my first thing I do every morning is I go to Instagram and then I'll go to Twitter because Twitter is where I get my news first. And then I'll just hit like USA Today. Like I'll go to like just those news sites. But it's more for work because I just want to see what's trending and what's happening in the world. That's why.
It's funny, though. I mean, you're doing it, like you said, you know, wake up routine. I mean, it's almost like you're doing it as you're combing your hair, as you're doing that stuff.
Oh, yeah.
My phone is in my medicine cabinet and I'm reading through as I'm doing those things. And it's typically the same websites every single day.
Yeah.
I start with the news outlets. You know, after I do both the red and the blue, because I always like to see both sides of the news, and then I'll do like TMZ, ESPN or something like that, you know, especially during right now, it's like free agency time. But those are the places that I go first. Local news is like, that's once I get to work.
Producer John, what do you do?
Well, I mean, so Instagram for sure, and I'll hit BuzzFeed or something like that. But, you know, it's funny, outside of stuff for work, and I don't do this anymore, but when I was single, I would always check my dating apps first, right when I woke up. That was a go-to. And it was, I mean, you know, obviously.
Here's the prospects. Let's go. Cock-a-doodle-doo, says the rooster.
Obviously, because you're excited, but also because, you know, I go to bed super early. I've got my kid. I'll usually fall asleep when I'm putting him down. So if you fall asleep at like 8 or 9 o'clock at night, most people don't even, like, do all the swiping until after that time. So, like, I'll wake up and I'll find out all of the stuff that happened the night before, like who swiped on me. Was there like a new message, something like that? There's always a little surprise. If you stay up till 11 o'clock, it's less of a surprise. If you go to bed early, it's exciting.
Well, it's like that for me when it comes to real estate because I'm looking for a new home right now. So if, like usually
give me the update.
In my normal world, I wouldn't do that, but I immediately go on the real estate website because I want to make sure nothing came on the market in the last 8 hours that I was sleeping. Sean, what do you do?
You know, I lay my clothes out for the entire week just so my outfits are appropriate depending on the weather. With that being said, the Weather Channel is always the first thing I go to every morning to make sure that that outfit for that day is going to be appropriate for whatever the weather is going to be.
I mean, seriously?
Sean is my grandfather.
Right.
Sean is my grandfather,
except
nobody had a phone. He'd be downstairs looking at those barometric meters and whatnot. I'd be like, I think I see cumulus clouds out there.
Anna and Raven's Pick 'em News.
Three news stories that are trending, but you only hear about one, and Raven picks which one it is.
Go for it.
All right, Raven, your selection today. Number one, lawsuit challenges Buffalo Wild Wings boneless chicken wings.
Oh, boy.
Number two, woman arrested for avocado assault.
Come on.
And number three, man steals $500,000 worth of crab pretending to be Safeway rep.
I mean, you're never going to be able to eat that thing in time, all right? Let's go with Buffalo Wild Wings. I've actually been eating there recently.
All right, so if you're not familiar with Buffalo Wild Wings, it is a chain restaurant that sells wings. It's been all over the news this week because of a lawsuit. Here's a news report.
A man claims false advertising after he was served boneless wings that were not actually wings. In the lawsuit, he says that the boneless wings are actually pieces of chicken breast meat that are deep fried like wings. And he claims that the chicken wings are actually a more premium product and consumers would pay less if they knew they were just eating chicken breasts.
I don't want to sound like a fool, but am I the only person that assumed that boneless chicken wings were basically chicken nuggets with different kind of sauces on them?
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing. It's chicken. So who really cares, right? To me, it's either white or dark meat. It's either on the bone or off the bone. And beyond that, I really don't care. Bro, you are not saving the rest of us here in the world by going ahead and bringing this lawsuit. You're just doing something frivolous here. As a matter of fact, you're probably going to raise the rates on my Parmesan-encrusted wings once you do this nonsense here.
But if it's class action lawsuit, that means we'll all get 30 cents each.
Yeah. I just got one of these things in the mail the other day from IKEA, and I was like, I don't even know what these people are suing them for, but I'm supposed to provide my information, and I'm sure I'm going to get some sort of, you know, 5% off or $5 or whatever. And with Buffalo Wild Wings, like you said, it's not going to amount to anything.
Buffalo Wild Wings has yet to respond or anything about the lawsuit. I'm curious what they say. I mean, if it's boneless buffalo wings, they're just chunks of chicken. I don't understand.
Right. Well, I mean, what do you expect? When it's not on a bone, what do you care?
All right, obviously,
what do you care?
This is like a cash grab. But if we could sue a chain restaurant for false advertising.
Yeah.
So we could also cash out and make some money and get everybody else 30 cents each.
Mm-hmm. Well, I would
sue.
I would sue the Burger King for the Impossible Whopper because clearly it's possible. You made it, right? So, I mean, it's here. I'm able to buy it, mm-hmm. especially if, you know, it's not sold out anywhere or whatever. I know it's plant-based, but, I mean, it's not impossible. You made the thing.
I would sue Arby's for their curly fries because you know how sometimes, every once in a while, they're not all curly?
There'll be a straight one.
There'll be a straight one. And I'd be like, excuse me. How did you get in here? I ordered curly fries. You are clearly a straight fry, and I want my money back.
I want to talk for anybody that's ever gone to get themselves a sub, a hoagie, a grinder, whatever it is that you call it. If they promise you a foot long, if you had a tape measure with you, do you think it would actually be exactly a foot?
I mean, I think it's supposed to be, right?
It's supposed to be.
Maybe we should do that.
I think it would be, you know, prudent for us to go ahead and start measuring it wherever we are.
How about the blooming onion from Outback? Not for nothing. I'm not actually sure there's an onion in there. It's just a lot of, like, breading and, like, fried stuff.
I hope they don't stop making it.
No, we don't want you to stop making it because it's still delicious. But I just want to see the size of the onion that actually goes into it, if there's an onion at all.
I have never seen a shamrock in a shamrock shake.
Me neither.
Never once.
Oh, and
not
how about,
once.
How about the McDonald's McRib? No one specifies whose rib is actually inside of it.
There's no rib in there.
I mean,
it's the same thing as Buffalo Wild Wings. There's no bone in there.
Right.
You can eat that entire thing.
We can sue everybody, I guess.
It's true.
That's all I need to know about you.
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 What's driving you crazy right now? Oh, it's like group therapy. And today, I need it, Raven. I need it. All right. What do you have bothering you that you need to get off your chest? You see somebody do something, post something. You don't know anything about them, but that's all you need to know about them. 1-800-330-9999. Aurora, that's all I need to know about you.
If you sign your friends up for karaoke, yeah, that's all I need to know about you.
So cruel. What happened?
My friend signed a bunch of us up for karaoke this weekend, and I didn't appreciate that. I don't like to sing, let alone in public. So, yeah, it was not fun, and I don't appreciate that.
Worse than the friend that signs you up is the announcer that won't let it go.
Mm.
The host has got to get through this night one way or the other, and I know what it is to do that job. I've seen plenty of people do that job. I got friends that do that job. But if somebody says, no, I don't want to, let them go.
Yeah.
Don't be like, no, come on. And then everybody in the bar, now you got to do it. Just release me. Release me from this hell you've put me in.
I can't remember the last time I was brought to a karaoke bar. But I remember when they were very popular years ago, we would go often. And I'm one of those people that I don't want to sing. Like, I'm a terrible singer. It's embarrassing for me.
Right.
You know? Like, so, like, don't force me. But that's always the thing with your friends. Like, you go, and they're like, no, everybody's got to sing. It's like, really? You know? And then you get on the mic, and
you
like
just feel meek.
Awkward silence after you're done, and there's a slow clap person.
You know what drives me nuts is, in this business, I know that there's a lot that you can do with the microphone. You can make it sound good. There's a lot of different tricks and toys that you can do with it. Why is it when I go to the karaoke bar, it's always the worst mic I've ever encountered in my life?
Because 7,000 people have spit into it.
Oh, gosh. ANN Raven, Vinny, that's all I need to know about you. What's up?
Listen, if I go to shake your hand and it feels like an overcooked rigatoni, that's all I need to know about you.
Yes, give me a firm handshake. I'm with you. That is an important thing. One of the first things that you learn.
Right.
I think when you're growing up.
But also don't crush my hand.
Yes.
Because that hurts. And then it's like a weird power move.
Yeah, I don't like the person that over-squeezes the hand, right.
You know what I've become, and I don't know when this happened? I became the two-person hand. So I take the one shake, and then I take the opposite hand, and I clench it, so it's like a two-hand shake.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure what that says about me, but if you have any insight on it, I'd love to hear. It
says you're a grandmother.
Oh, that's not real.
Listen, a man shakes a woman's hand different than he shakes a man's hand. I do the same thing. Whenever I shake a woman's hand, it's an open grip and a second hand on top of it. It's just more of a gentle gesture, rather than a tight grip with a fist.
Oh, no, sir. I think you're stalkerish with that handshake. If you do that to a woman two-handed, now you're cupping her other hand, let me go. How about let me go? How about we just shaking hands and then we're moving on? I'd rethink that one, Vinny.
Definitely don't kiss the hand.
Don't kiss the hand.
No,
Reaper.
Don't kiss the hand.
Tony, that's all I need to know about you.
Okay, so if you're driving in your car by yourself with two masks on, that is all I need to know about you.
I mean, honestly.
It's weird.
It's weird. Yeah. It's like if you're in the car by yourself, who are you protecting yourself from? I've been thinking about this lately because this week is 3 years since the whole pandemic thing went down.
Yeah.
And I wonder, I think about like the roller coaster that we've been on. And the fact that if 3 years ago you saw somebody wearing masks in their car by themselves, you would think they're insane. But now you think they're insane again.
When I see somebody now, I automatically assume they have some, like, communicable disease.
Right.
Like, I immediately think, like, oh, my gosh, they must be really ill. And it's like, no, they have, like, hay fever. And I'm like, okay.
Sometimes as a parent, you have the best intentions at heart. You're like, you know what? I want to bring my kids somewhere fun. We're going to do something they love. Then you spend the money. You've got the time. You show up there and you realize this was a mistake.
Mm.
Huge mistake.
Yeah, sometimes it's that quick, too. You just walk right in and you're like, oh, no. Yeah.
Producer John, what happened?
I took my son to a Jurassic Park, arena show. It's one of those things where the dinosaurs come out and they're like animatronics. Some of them are dudes in suits. And I thought, great. He's 3.5 years old. He thinks dinosaurs are awesome. I'm going to take him to this show. And I walk in and they let us touch some of the animatronic dinosaurs. And that's cool. There's a whole little pre-show. And then the show itself starts and 10 minutes into this show, like massive explosions go off and a life-size T-Rex head busts through the wall and starts roaring very loudly, like to the point where I'm like, this is loud for me. I look over at this kid and I'm expecting him to absolutely lose his mind. One saving grace was that I bought him one of those way overpriced swords before we walked in.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of freaking out, he just grabs a sword and he starts trying to fight the dinosaur.
Right.
Like, and he hits the guy in front of him in the head like 8 times.
I'm really sorry.
Yeah, what are you going to do? I don't know. Sometimes you bring the kids places and you think it's going to be so easy and such a good time. And it's like, it's not. And it's really stressful.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. We traveled, I want to say it was like 3 hours to get to a Legoland. And if you don't live somewhere that's near a Legoland, it's basically like an amusement park. But Legos is the theme of the place, right?
Sure, right.
Now, I would think, Dakota, my little one, I don't allow Legos in my house because I just can't stand them. The pieces go everywhere. Nobody
stepping
wants
on
them.
Step
on them. Oh,
gosh.
So I would think, like, I thought she would be so excited because it's this novelty that they have Legos everywhere and they have the Lego rides and all that. But what Legoland does is they have these sections of the park that are built with these incredible Lego sculptures, right?
Mm-hmm.
But what do they put on the sign right next to it?
Don't touch it.
Don't touch it.
Can't touch it.
No climbing on the Lego structures.
Right.
So now, what do you think my 4-year-old wants to do?
Smash.
And the tickets to get in were so expensive. So all I'm doing the whole time is screaming at her and grabbing her and basically wrestling her to the ground while she's throwing a tantrum on the floor because she wants to climb on these structures that she can't.
Yeah, that stinks.
I was like, this was a mistake.
There's two kinds of kids. There's the kids who love the Legos because they want to build something and then that thing must exist and they must put it up on a shelf and it's beautiful.
Yeah.
Right.
And then there's the kid who's the only reason they like the Legos, and this is James and Dakota, the only reason they like the Legos is so that they can then destroy the
Smash
Legos.
It to pieces. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it's part of the process, right? You build it and then you break it down.
Yeah. Nope. Not there.
Yeah.
Not there. You can only look. Don't touch on these ones.
It's just step one there, right?
Yeah.
I always thought it was strange when, so my first marriage, my stepdaughter, she used to always want to go to the casino with me. So we were in Vegas and you always wanted to go to the casino. And of course they have all these different, you know, there's childcare, but they have like, you know, the huge ballroom and they have like the different adventure parks and all that stuff. And it was a bad idea, not for her. It was a bad idea for me because what do you do while you're there? You can't go in the ballroom or whatever. So you go play blackjack. And then you're out of money. And that just seemed like a bad idea. Not exactly what you're saying,
no,
but bad for me anyways.
Not even close. And also, do you know how many of those contraptions I've gotten stuck in? So you haven't.
Well, again, I wouldn't venture that.
If you've ever had a 2-year-old that's stuck on the 3rd floor of one of those ball pit contractions, you know what I'm talking about, the tunnels and all that. And they're crying and they're looking down at you through the net. And they're, mommy! You know what you do? You take off your shoes and you squeeze your tushy up there, and it is terrible.
If you leave it to me, I leave it to the attendant, and I'll just double down.
Right.
I'll split those 7s. That's what I'll do.
Parents always have the best intentions at heart, especially when they pay money to take kids somewhere that they think is going to be so much fun for them, and then they get to that place and they realize this was a mistake.
I hate to break it to you, but you can't hit a home run every time. Sometimes you're going to miss.
Yeah. 1-800-330-9999. Where did you bring your child that you thought was going to be great and it was a mistake? Megan.
Okay, I don't have kids, but I was babysitting my niece for the weekend. I don't have that much experience, and she's 2.5. And I made the mistake to take us to, like, a nice adult restaurant, and I didn't even bring anything for her because I didn't know I was supposed to. And she just started running around the restaurant and screaming and yelling, and we had to leave, like, halfway through the meal. I'm like, can we just get this to go? And my sister was like, you had to bring coloring books or a tablet or something. You can't just bring her without an activity. And it was just a disaster, and I just didn't know.
I'm the iPad mom. Like, I bring the iPad everywhere I go, and she puts on her headphones, and she goes into her little world, and go ahead, judge me. I don't even care anymore at this point. I'm too old for that. I have friends. They come fully equipped with activities in their purses. Coloring books. There's crayons. There's, like, the thing where you use a wet thing, and it makes colors appear. They have the wildest things, and I'm like, guys, you could just put an iPad in, and you don't have to do any of these things.
You know, rookie mistake, right? First time, you learn, right? You'll bring some more stuff with you next time, although you might not be allowed back in that restaurant.
Lucy, where did you bring your kid that was a big mistake?
So we took our kid when she was 4 to the Science Center, which in all wasn't a mistake, but there was a special room about reproduction and how babies were made. And on the ceiling, it was like a huge display with like a mom and a dad with like a like big sperm everywhere and an egg. And I mean, it's not that it's a bad thing to learn. It's just not quite age appropriate at 4 years old. And it just, a lot of questions came after that. Let's just say
so
that I wasn't
questions.
Ready.
Seems like a lot.
Yeah.
Right. Not
right.
What you were
wasn't...
thinking you were talking about that day.
Mm-hmm.
Just having a good time, thinking you're going to learn about space and maybe some dinosaurs.
Yep.
Yeah. Simon, where did you bring your kid that was a big mistake?
So this one might be controversial, but we just did a big family trip to a certain magical theme park in Florida.
Mm.
They had a great time, and the problem is that now they won't stop talking, and every week they're asking to go back. It's like, I don't know what to say to them.
I had the opposite situation where I brought my little one, Dakota, last winter, and she's, like, not a fearful kid, but she was so scared of all the rides that she ruined the trip for all of us because
yeah.
She would cry and she wouldn't go on the rides, and then we had to take turns without her.
You were screaming in her face, suck it up!
Oh, the tantrums!
Suck it up! No.
I was not screaming in her face, but, like, it was so shocking that she was so afraid that she didn't want to do anything.
Yeah.
And I was like, we could spend so much money on this trip, and we can't do anything, and she's having a miserable time.
Yeah, that's not fun.
No.
But it's like flying first class, right? You open that Pandora's box, your kid is bit by the bug now. She's going to want to get married there. She's going to want to everything.
As parents, you always want to bring kids places that you think they'll enjoy. A lot of times, they cost a lot of money to take them to these places, too. But by the time you get there, you realize, oh, this was a big mistake. Where did you take your kid? 1-800-330-9999. Susan, where did you bring your child?
So when my son, my oldest is 5, we had not yet realized his competitive nature, and we took him miniature golfing while we were on vacation. And we had to yell 4 every time he hit the ball because it was a line drive, and we had to leave. But we were asked to leave by the 9th hole because it was getting too dangerous for all those around us.
Yeah, not just that. I mean, like, you know, then they can get angry if they're not winning or they're not doing well or you're not allowing them to do that. Something about mini golf, like, people get irrationally angry.
My problem with my kids in the mini golf is that when they were little, they all want to go, you know how they have the water, like the water things? They want to go in the water.
Yeah.
And it's like, you can't explain that. Like, that's not a pool, baby.
Yeah, yeah, that's disgusting water.
Right.
Stay away from that water. Right.
That was a one and done. Thank you.
John, where did you bring your kid that you shouldn't have?
You know, I brought him over to what I used to do as a kid at McDonald's. We had the playpen, the playhouse, what it was called, in the back there with the slides and the ball pits. Like, I brought my kid there, and he's going down the slide, and he's like, "Ah, Daddy!" He gets stuck on his shorts. There's a nail sticking out. Luckily, he didn't cut himself. He just got hung up on it. And I was like, this is not as safe as it used to be as a kid. Or we were just tougher back then. I don't know. Maybe we used to get dinged up, and we just didn't complain about it.
Playgrounds are dangerous. Like, I sound insane when I say that, but, like, there's so many times that I'm just chasing my toddler around and I think she's gonna hurt herself, she's gonna fall off this, that's really high, she's not gonna be able to climb that.
There's nothing worse than getting stuck on a slide, right? I mean, it's the saddest slide ever. First off, slides are for sliding. All right, here's an update. Let's make it so you actually slide down it. The other thing is like they're usually like hot or sticky or gross or the angle's wrong. If you're going to put up a slide because it looks like a slide, but you put the angle so slight that nobody actually slides down it because you're worried about liability or whatever, get that slide out of here. We don't need this slide. This is a fake slide.
If your child is afraid of slides, so it's the best idea in the world. You want to go down the slide. You want to go down the slide.
They get up there.
They get all the way to the top. And then you're like, okay. All right, come.
Yeah.
All right, go, mama, go. Kids
behind them pushing on them.
Then you got to climb up to the top of the slide, and you got to go down with them, and it's like a whole thing.
Oh man.
Slides. Chloe, where did you bring your child that you shouldn't have?
Oh, the worst mistake of my life. So I brought my son to my best friend's wedding, and I thought everything would go well. I mean, he's about 3 years old, but once it came to the after party, me and my husband were taking turns watching him. The music was too much, and I was doing a lot, too. And I really wanted to have fun, and it was a party pooper for everybody. So I will never do that again.
Here's what I learned. You can only bring, if your children are invited to a wedding, which mine have been, you know, I come from a big family, I only will bring my kids if my parents are coming too, so then they can be in charge. That's been like, and it sounds so selfish to say that, but it's the truth. It's if they're there to help me, great. But if it's just me and my husband, nope, call the sitter.
Yeah, some parties are just better with the adults. It's just, you know, again, sooner or later you get a day off yourself.
Yeah, you just
grandma and grandma
out.
Are there.
You just want to have fun. So unless mommy is there to watch the baby and be grandma and walk around holding the child and I can sit at the bar and have my glass of Sauvignon Blanc, then nope, you stay home. Do you become cooler as a parent when you win an Oscar, you think?
Oh, yeah.
To your kid?
I mean, I think you become cooler to everybody when you win an Oscar. You definitely are worth more money. Every one of your projects moving forward, buku.
Well, unless you're a female, but we can argue about that another time. Remember what happened to poor
Halle
Berry?
I mean, you don't have to argue with me. I'm not going to try and argue with you.
It's true.
But I mean, she made Catwoman right after. That was a bad choice.
It was a bad choice. All right, but anyway, let's talk about Brendan Fraser. He won the best Oscar for male lead for The Whale this past Sunday. And Monday night, he went out partying with his adult son. His son has to be, I think, 22, 23 years old. He's pretty young. He's his young, early 20s. Mm. And they were so excited that he was there with his dad. This is everybody at the bar, and they're getting him to sign the wall.
Wherever they're not going to paint over. I think this is our first Oscar-winning third grader, huh? Oh, yeah, that's much better. I can almost read it.
Yeah,
it's not just any club. He's at the Whiskey A Go-Go.
Yeah, it's a party. Mm-hmm.
It's a big deal, man. Right. I mean, River Phoenix passed right out front. I mean, Johnny Depp owned it. It's like a crazy place.
Yeah, but I started thinking about it, and producer John, producer Sean Raven, you know, have you ever drank with your parents? Like, went out to a bar and partied with your parents? Because that's what he did right after the Oscar win. And I kept thinking, I have never gone out with my parents to a bar in my life.
That's weird.
I've never seen my mom finish a glass of wine. Every once in a while, we would go to a wedding, and she'll order, like, a white Russian, which I think is, like, the mom kind of thing.
That's like when she's going to tie it on.
Right.
And she's like, oh, yeah, give me one of those.
She's like, okay. Anna, get me the one I like, the white Russian one. And then halfway through, she'll be like, but that's the end of it. That's the end of it. Like, I've never,
you
like,
never
went
see
out.
Anything else.
No, right. I don't know. Did you guys ever go out drinking with your parents? Sean?
You know what? No, I never have. Never, ever. My parents actually quit drinking before I became, like, legal age to drink.
See, you're like me.
Yeah, but you nearly got married before, too, though, right? So you used to drink. Did you ever drink with her family?
Oh, yeah. Me and her dad would go out all the time.
See, that's one of those funny things.
Yeah.
It's the same thing with me. I drink with my father-in-law plenty.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, I've gone out with my father-in-law plenty of times.
Am I the only person here who has, like, drank with both of their parents, like, on
several
occasions?
Well, having met your father, having discussed some things with your father, I mean, I'm not shocked. When was the first time that you went out drinking with your dad?
You know what? It's funny. The first time I went out drinking with any parent, though, it was actually my mom. You would think it's my dad if you knew my dad, but it was my mom. And my mom's entire family, it was the summer going into college, so I was 18 years old, and we all kind of got together, and they showed me how to play quarters. And we played quarters for 3 hours.
Oh,
we were on the floor. It was, oh my gosh. Oh, it was bad.
Great parenting. Thanks,
I mean,
Mom.
It's so-
I was a legal adult. I was not legal
somewhere,
drink, but I was a legal adult.
You just said you were like 18.
Right.
Right.
In Canada. He was legally drinking in Canada.
Right. Right. In Bermuda or yeah. something like that. My mom was the same as your mom, but I have gone out with my mother before. But it's like when she says she's going to get rowdy, it's like two glasses of, you know, teeny tiny glasses of champagne. Mm. And then she like, it, I remember the first time we went out, she actually like did the drunk hiccup thing.
Oh,
she was like, she did that like three times and then she was asleep in a chair like 2 minutes later.
I remember
amazing.
The only time I really drank in front of my parents probably was at my sister's wedding. Mm. And we went outside after the wedding was over and I'll never forget it because it was the dumbest thing I've ever done. I opened a beer bottle with my teeth.
Oh,
nice.
Oh man. You're
she
so
looked
proud
over
of
at
being
me.
Able to do that.
I mean, she looked over at me and she was like, Anna, I don't think you're supposed to do that.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, and that was...
Whose daughter are you?
Yeah, no, that was the first and last time. That's about it.
Well, congrats to Brendan Fraser. Having fun this week.
Yeah. It was the best text message I've gotten from a family member in a long time. I laughed so hard I cried. Okay. My daughter went to my cousin's birthday party. He was turning 5 years old this past Sunday. It's my cousin's son. And they had a magician there. It was like... I don't know where Dakota thought she was going. Dakota's my little one. She was so excited. All this week, it's nonstop talking about the magician. And in the party bag, they gave her a magic wand, right?
You
know, because of the magician, right? She has been casting spells all around the house with her magic thing. And she truly believes it works. Here's her doing some of these spells.
I was a devil, turn into a monkey.
Did Lila turn into a monkey?
Yeah.
Lila's my dog. Spoiler alert, Lila did not actually turn into a monkey.
That's good. We've learned that monkeys are not pets for home.
I would get that with my dolly into a cow.
Turn your dolly into a cow? Did it work?
Yeah.
She believes in this magic wand so much.
I mean, love
she,
it.
She just goes around the house.
Turns. I would get that with my princesses into chocolate ice cream.
Do they turn into chocolate ice cream?
Yeah.
But there are some miracles that not even the magic wand could fix.
I put a dapper make my sister nice to me.
Sister nice to you? Did that work?
No.
So then she's been going around doing all these spells throughout the week. And I get a text message and I'll read it to you. Hey, guys. Thanks for coming to Mikey's party and for the gifts. Also, it has come to my attention that what Mike and I thought were magic wands that we put in the goodie bags are actually prop cigarette holders that would go with, like, a flapper costume or whatever that era is. Clearly, we would never have knowingly given out cigarette holders to a bunch of five-year-olds.
I love it. Encouraging everybody to become flappers. I love it.
So the best part is, like, just to prove one step further that they did not do this on purpose,
She
sends us the link to Amazon. Mm-hmm. And sure enough, the Amazon link has a little kid dressed up as a witch holding this wand. But if you read the reviews and you go through the pictures, it says, this is not a magic wand. This is a cigarette holder for a flapper all over the place.
So they basically like repurposed it. They recategorized it. Right. I mean, I would assume that it looked enough like a wand for a minute.
Wait, Raven. All week long, she has been playing with this.
Yeah.
And if you want to go right now to our Instagram at Anna and Raven, you can see this, the whole thing, and look at it yourself. When I got this text, I go, no.
And then you looked at it.
I picked it up. I go, oh, yeah.
Wait a minute. You were like, right now you can't unsee it. Right now it's all you can see. Now you can't even see the magic wand in it.
It's not a magic wand. Right. It's a cigarette holder. And Amazon tricked them into buying them as kid party favors.
She's not very responsible, Amazon.
You have to go check out this video for yourself. Because when you see it close up, you're like, you got to be kidding me.
Yeah.
Some job qualifications are harder than others. There's a viral video going around. It's a woman who saw a job that came up.
Looking for a server for a fun, fast-paced, unique bar restaurant. Must be sober on the job, be calm in a fast-paced environment.
Okay, first of all, the fact that they must be sober on the job seems like something that you don't need to say out loud, but I guess it's been a problem that you need to in the restaurant industry?
I mean, restaurants, bartenders, servers, that whole thing. Sometimes, yeah, people get a little bit rowdy when they're working.
But then the qualifications get a little bit more, well, you'll hear.
Please do not apply if you have no sense of humor or can't handle skillful sarcasm, have no alarm clock, oversleep, have a cell phone battery that dies constantly, preventing you from contacting us, call in sick with an excuse because you partied too hard the night before your shift.
skillful sarcasm. Whoever wrote this post finds themselves very funny, too.
Oh, man. But yeah. I think everybody...
They're like, look at how funny I am. Watch what I'm going to demand.
Everybody has like a job, though, that you applied to that you didn't get, and you didn't get it for the dumbest reason whatsoever.
Sure.
Producer Sean, dumbest reason why you didn't get a job.
Oh, this one's good. I was trying to leave my old job to go to like a competitor, and they said no because they were afraid I was like a mole who was going to try to like find out what they were doing right and bring it back to the company. Like, you know, like it's a James Bond movie. It's a grocery store. Okay? Right. A mole? Come on.
Do not apply if you think you'll need nights off because your grandma poisoned you with her ham again. Or your band has a gig and you need weekends off because your favorite roller derby has made it to the finals.
Oh, speaking of not getting a job because your band, producer John.
Yeah, no, I'm out. I didn't get a job one time. Not for that reason. But I didn't get a job one time because I couldn't type fast enough. I had to type it. I want to say it was 40 words a minute, although that sounds slow now. But yeah, couldn't do it.
That's funny.
I've never been given a test like that. I mean, I've been given tests for jobs before, but never with typing.
Yeah, they gave me the test. I failed it.
A couple times, there's been, and I can count, three times in my life that I applied for, for a job outside of radio, right, that I did not get. Two times it was very much I was not qualified, and when they said I didn't get the job, it kind of made sense. I'm like, all right, it was disappointing, but like I got it.
Yeah.
But I went for a job at the Outback. Now, my family... has restaurants. My parents are restaurant people. They own restaurants.
They're not Australian, though.
I have worked in restaurants my whole life. I grew up sleeping on pizza boxes in the back of the pizzerias. They told me I did not have enough experience to work at the Outback.
Yeah.
I was like, what are you talking about? I've literally been doing this since I was a baby. They would not hire me at the Outback.
You needed to sleep with like crocodiles or something like that. So they felt you were more Australian and you would have been ready for that. That would have been the way to do it.
And you have a headache after going to too many garage sales. You woke up in a good mood and didn't want to ruin it. You've been at the casino all night and still have money to play with.
Some of us have done that, right?
Raven, did you ever not get a job for some dumb reason?
Yeah, I was supposed to be part of a banquet team that worked on riverboat cruises. And the second they put me on the riverboat, you have to like, you know, the first day is like a probationary thing. I realized that within minutes I was either going to be seasick or really, really, really tired.
Ah.
It was just like rocking me to sleep the entire time.
Well, at least they offered you the job, right?
Well, they did, but they kind of were like, they were doing it sheepishly because nobody else was there.
Last but not least, big egos, grumpy introverts need not apply.
Oh, I guess none of us would get this job.
Yeah,
none.
Go for radio.
Yeah. Why is it trending? Top news stories trending and why. We asked if you were a twin, if you could call 1-800-330-9999 because twins is trending. I'll tell you why in just a second. Carol, are you a twin?
I am a twin, and I have two sets of twins.
Oh, my gosh. Have you ever not been able to tell your kids apart?
No, they're fraternal.
Okay.
Okay, right. We need identical twins.
Yeah, but the thing is, even when they're babies, don't they look very similar?
They do. My kids are friends with another family that are two sets of twins, and one set is identical. They're in their late 20s, and I still can't tell them apart.
Right. But
Ed, are you an identical twin?
Yes, I am. It's identical mirror twin.
Okay. Was there ever a time when your parents could not tell you apart? Are you sure you're the right twin?
It's a good possibility. You never know. My parents probably did mix us up.
Right. Like, what do you do if you can't tell your twins apart after you take them home?
You take a little Sharpie and you just mark one of them.
Well, that's what this woman did. Yeah. Did you ever get fingerprinted, Ed, to make sure you're the right twin, like that matches up to your birth certificate?
Oh, yeah. We've been fingerprinted. We're both retired police officers from Nassau, so we're both fingerprinted. But we had bracelets that said Baby A and Baby B on them.
Yeah.
Such a drip.
Right. Thank you, Ed. So that's what's going on with this woman. She's a mom from Argentina. She has identical two-month-old babies. And she had a bracelet on one of them, right? That so she could tell, you know, who was who. But the bracelet fell off. And somehow, like, the marking that they had put on, like, had worn off. And she didn't realize it because she always relied on the bracelet.
Oh, no.
So she had to bring her babies to the police department to get fingerprinted so she could tell which was which. Now, my best friend Danielle and I, we've been arguing about this for 24 hours.
Yeah.
Does it matter when they're that little?
I don't think it matters when they're that little,
but
right?
But what happens later in life? Like if one chooses a life of crime and you have like confusion, right? It's wild.
I mean, you never have any idea though, right? I mean, that's the whole part of being an identical twin. I mean, in criminal history, this has happened before and it's been the subject of TV shows. There was one I watched like last year on Netflix. So, I mean, you can switch in and out, especially if you're good at it. And then when your parents go, like, who's to say which one of you is which? Yeah. Nobody knows once your parents are gone. They've got the best shot of telling you apart.
So when they went to the police department and they did the fingerprints, they were kind of like, they were smudged. They weren't able to get
it
accurately.
And
right.
Their skin is loose.
Yeah. So yesterday she went and filed with Argentina's National Registry of Persons to identify the children and be able to do it again. I mean, that what a nightmare situation for a mother.
Yeah.
Can you imagine?
Get a better bracelet.
And babies look the same when they're little like
they
that.
They do.
I remember when Dakota was in the NICU when she was born, my little one. I went up there and I was arguing with my husband that it wasn't our baby. And she wasn't a twin. I can't imagine if there's two of them that look like that.
I mean, at one and a half, they have personalities. I know they do. But at the same time, like, you know, if you just put them in a separate outfit, a different outfit one day, you can lose them. Oh, you can mix them up.
My heart breaks for this woman.
Couples Court on the Anna and Raven Show.
Every day a couple joins us. They let us know what their disagreement is about, and then you just have to decide who's right. Kelsey and Parker. Kelsey, what's going on?
Hey, okay, so last week we got an email from our daughter's teacher. She's in kindergarten, and the teacher emailed that my daughter is never eating her lunch, that she's worried about that, said that she's concerned that it's not a nutritious lunch, that I need to be packing more healthy things. And I really don't think that's my daughter's teacher's business, what I put in her lunch. I know what my daughter likes to eat. She doesn't have a big appetite. I just would rather give her like a little junk. She's probably more likely to eat like a chocolate chip muffin than a turkey sandwich. I know what my daughter needs to eat. It's not her teacher's business to tell me. And I know what's best for her and what she's going to eat.
All right. I mean, I understand that. Parker, what do you think?
I mean, here's my thing. I said this many times. I think now is the time to start planting the seeds for our daughter to be healthy and grow healthy. And, you know, it's also kind of a discipline thing. You know, if it's coming from the teacher at school, you know, the head of discipline while she's at school. So if she's suggesting it, I kind of think that maybe she should be sent with a little bit of a healthier lunch. She could be eating a little bit healthier, but it seems like she's just not eating much at all. But I think it could be healthier stuff. Versus these muffins and crackers and candy or, you know, whatever, you know, going in her lunch.
This is tough, right? I mean, kids, I mean, I got to say, obviously, Kelsey, you know your daughter, so you know what she's going to eat and what she won't eat. You'd rather take the chance to have her eat something during the day than not at all because she doesn't like the choices that you're putting in there. On the other hand, you know, I mean, I get it's good that I guess that the teacher's paying attention. You don't want kids in your classroom that are just being hopped up on junk throughout the day. But again, I mean, if they're eating, they're eating. God, it's so difficult, right? I mean, all you hear is horror stories of the kid will only eat one thing.
I mean, it's the story of my life.
Right.
I mean, I understand exactly where you're coming from, Kelsey. I am embarrassed what I send my daughter to school with every single day. But I what am I going to do? Those are the only things that she'll eat. And I'd rather her be fed eating the terrible things that I pack, you know, like the pirate booty. The pirate booty is like the main course. If I can get her to eat that, and 9 times out of 10, she won't even eat that, you know, versus like if I pack her a turkey sandwich, like there's no shot.
The thing's just going to be rotting in that box.
Please. I mean, sometimes I put a banana in there just for show. Just for show.
Look.
Yeah, look.
I'm
look,
trying.
Teacher. They sent like a note home. They're like, there needs to be an ice pack in this lunch. And I'm like, for what? Everything here is prepackaged. There's literally nothing here that can spoil.
This food could go to space. It'll make zero difference. Right.
But does your teacher really have any say over what you're packing, especially when you know your daughter better than anybody else?
Yeah, nobody wants to be scolded, right?
I don't know. What would you do in this situation? Why don't we ask the audience? They may agree with you, Kelsey. Teacher needs to mind her business. You pack the way you want. If your daughter's not eating, then you'll address that when she gets home. But they may see Parker's side, too, if she's not eating it. Just for show, put in the food that is, quote, unquote, healthier and roll the dice. Maybe she will eat it.
1-800-330-9999. Whose side are you on? It's the Couples Court with Anna and Raven.
How much say does your child's teacher have in what's in their lunchbox? It's kind of a disagreement that Parker and Kelsey are having right now. Their five-year-old is a very picky eater, so a lot of the stuff in the lunchbox is not very healthy. It's the, you know, the packages of things. So the teacher wrote home and is like, she's not eating. And mom's like, yeah, no kidding. She never eats. It's a problem that we have. And it's probably because this stuff isn't healthy. Kelsey is so upset about it because she's like, don't tell me what my kid will eat and won't eat. I know, because it's my kid. But Parker disagrees.
Well, Parker says, listen, I mean, the teacher's probably right that, you know, she needs some more nutrition. We would love for her to be eating something healthier. She just won't. I mean, I think he understands both parts. But he says, listen, if our daughter's going to ignore all the food anyways, just stick something healthy in there. And then that way the teacher is satisfied. And then, you know, either she comes around to eating it or she doesn't. It's very frustrating, obviously. I mean, you want to make sure that they're eating something.
Well, yeah, exactly. What do you think? 1-800-330-9999. Christina, whose side are you on?
I am on the mom's side. I think the teacher needs to mind her own business. You know, if the daughter, if that's the only thing she's going to eat, then she should. I will also say, though, if they want her to eat healthier, you know, they got to lead by example. So they need to eat healthier and let their daughter see that.
Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. It's a couple's court. Parker and Kelsey have a five-year-old daughter in kindergarten, and she is an incredibly picky eater. So mom puts the things she'll eat in her lunchbox, sometimes cookies, sometimes packages of things. The teacher emailed home that she hasn't been really eating her lunch, which, duh, mom says she barely eats anyway. But also, she thinks the problem is that it's all unhealthy food, and mom ain't having it. She's like, are you kidding me? Don't tell me what my kid will eat.
I understand both of these points of view, right? I mean, I get it. Kelsey would be offended. You don't live with my daughter. I know what's going on with my child every single day, and I am doing my best to manage her and make sure that she'll eat something. On the other hand, it's great that the teacher's looking out for the kid's health, but stay in your lane at this time, I guess.
Well, Parker disagrees. Her husband. Put the healthy stuff in the bag. Like, make the teacher be quiet, and then she'll see that she won't eat it, or maybe she will start eating it. It'll be win-win. What do you think? 1-800-330-9999. Erin, whose side are you on?
I'm on both. A child needs to be exposed, like, something like 36 times to a food before they're going to try it. So throw it in the lunchbox.
36 bananas. All right. I'm hearing you loud and clear. Thanks for the call.
Ashley, whose side are you on today?
I'm on the mom's side. I totally agree with her. I have a son who does the exact same thing, and his teacher actually said the exact same thing. But my thing is, like you said, you know your child better than anybody, and I'd rather give my child something that I know he's going to eat rather than waste money and waste food that he's not going to eat.
Right. Like me with that banana. I put a banana in there knowing she's not going to eat it, and then I have to make my husband eat it when he gets home from work.
It's a prop. Right? Now it's been transferred and gone through a lunch pail, too. It
right.
Smells weird.
No,
right.
He's got to eat it. I'm not wasting it.
Hi, Piper. Whose side are you on today?
I'm on Parker's side.
No, the mother's side.
No, not the mother's side.
The teacher's side.
No, the dad's side.
The teacher's
side. No, we want the dad. We like the dad.
Okay.
I think that maybe you guys should call us back and we'll do another couple's court another day.
Right. Thank you. Hey, Stefan, whose side are you on?
I'm on the mother's side only because, in general, kids are active. Kids burn off, you know, the fats and the sugars that they eat throughout the day, and they have a faster metabolism. As they get older, they start learning, you know, to eat healthier and stuff like that. So I'm definitely on the mother's side.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Kelsey, our audience agreed with you today. You know your child better than anybody else, better than teachers. And if there's not anything offensive about the lunch, then they really don't have any say about what you're packing her. If she's not eating it, then that's for you to address, not the teacher.
Exactly. I know my daughter better than anybody, certainly better than her teacher. And she just doesn't have a big appetite, and she's very tiny. So I just feel like better to give her a little junk, and maybe she'll eat something.
I mean, when it's kindergarten, first grade, right? You're thinking, like, all you want to do is play with your friends anyways, right? I'll eat when I eat. I'll nap when I nap. And when I get home, I'll have whatever I want.
Yeah, but she needs some nutrition, too, you know?
I mean, it's great that the teacher's looking out. But now she said something, you can respond to her, and then that's it.
Yeah, I wonder what the teacher's eating for lunch. It's not my business.
Right.
not digging through the teacher's lunch. Gosh. Is she having cigarettes and coffee or something?
Let's hope
Come
not.
On, honey.
Let's
hope not. Come on, honey.
The Newport right. light in the parking lot. I hope not.
People are upset.
All right. If you have a problem, too, send an email. couplescore@annonraven.com.
Can't beat Raven.
The Can't Beat Raven Cash jackpot is $3,900 thanks to Cricket. With fast and powerful nationwide 5G on all plans, it's no wonder people who come to Cricket stay with Cricket. Angie, you ready to play?
Hi, good morning. Yes, I am.
Okay, can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
Raven, could you please leave the room?
Sure, Angie. Good luck.
Thank you.
Okay. He's going to walk out of here. That door is going to close. He won't be able to hear us. We're in a soundproof studio. I'm going to ask you 5 pop culture questions. You have 3 seconds to answer each one. I'll bring him back in. Ask him the same questions. Whoever gets the most right wins. Ready to play?
Absolutely.
All right. I really want to give away this money, Angie. Let's do it. Number one.
Okay.
Ted Lasso is back for its 3rd and final season. Well, there's controversy of its final season, but we'll see. There is a sign that hangs over the door of Ted Lasso's office, and it has one word on it. What's that word?
I don't know.
Number two, Paris Hilton's self-titled memoir is out, and she makes a lot of revelations. But she also admits that she didn't come up with her signature phrase, "That's hot." It was her sister. What's her sister's name?
Nikki Hilton?
Number two, a topless protester took the stage at the Juno Awards this week when Avril Lavigne was accepting her award, and Avril kicked her off the stage. What country celebrates the Juno Awards?
That would be...
That's time. You're stalling
Canada?
On me, girl. You're stalling on me. Number four, Keanu Reeves said he is open to being cast on the show Yellowstone. There are a few spinoff series of Yellowstone, and there's two of them that are named after years. One is 1883, and the second is 19... what?
1923.
And number five, Mint Mobile is being sold to T-Mobile for $1.35 billion. What celebrity has a 25% stake in that company and also recently sold his gin brand called Aviation American?
Ryan Reynolds.
All right. Let me bring Raven back in.
Yo.
3 out of 5 for Angie.
Not great, not terrible. Nearly $4,000. Let's see how I do.
She had a slow start, but she picked up at the end. Number one, Ted Lasso is back for its 3rd and final season, although there's controversy. The whole thing was made to only be 3 seasons. But
sure.
Because of its popularity, now they might go further, but they're not confirming or denying it. We'll see.
Sometimes that's a bad idea.
There's a sign that hangs over the door of Ted Lasso's office, and it has one word on it. What's that word?
Believe.
Believe. Number two, Paris Hilton's self-titled memoir is out. She makes a lot of revelations, but also admits that she didn't come up with her signature phrase, "That's hot." It was her sister. What's her sister's name?
Nikki.
Yes. Number three, a topless protester took the stage at the Juno Awards this week after Avril Lavigne was accepting her award, and Avril kicked her off the stage.
Saw that.
What country celebrates the Juno Awards?
Canada.
Yes. Number four, Keanu Reeves said he is open to being cast on the show Yellowstone. There are a few spin-off series of Yellowstone. And two of them are named after years. One is 1883, and the second is 1923. Yes. And number five, Mint Mobile is being sold to T-Mobile for $1.35 billion. Mm. What celebrity has a 25% stake in that company and also recently sold his gin brand called Aviation American?
Ryan Reynolds. I hear he's staying on as kind of like an advertising guy. Here's the thing. Get ready. Your rates are going up. It might not be for the first year. But they are going up after that. And that was the big thing about Mint. Your rates were supposed to stay low.
But can we talk about how much money Ryan Reynolds is worth?
Like, he's smart.
Oh, my gosh. The amount of companies that he's invested in that he has sold for so much money. Like, he's going to be pretty soon one of the richest people in our country.
Ashton Kutcher was one of those guys who kind of did that early on,
yes, too.
You know, great pitch man, Ryan Reynolds, by the way. You trust him.
Yeah, and he's funny. Mm-hmm. All right, Angie, he beat you 5-3 today. That's going to get you an Anna and Raven t-shirt.
My name's Angie, and I can't beat Raven.
Better luck next time. Enjoy the trip, girl. $4,000 tomorrow, Anna.